What's good, everybody? Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, guest Chris Wassel. How you doing, everybody?
What's up, fellas? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everybody. We finally made it through the week.
Chris Wassel, good to see you, man. How's everything been going during the pause in the season? Everything going on in New Jersey right now?
Pretty good. As you can see, I'm in a wonderful pink quarantine land. for those that don't know, I work at Amazon, and the other half I do, well, what I normally do best, hockey and sports. So I'm up in my upstairs bedroom where it's nice and quiet and soundproof. It's, again, just a little bit pink. That's all.
Well, we're here for a two-episode week of NHL Fantasy on Ice. It's probably the first time in a couple of months that we've done that. So we're starting to heat up as the potential restart of the season comes within the next month or two. So, Robbie, excited for that?
I'm super excited, Pete. And the more I thought about it after last episode, all these teams that are going to be playing each other for the higher seed, it's funny because these odds and the percentage of bets are starting to leak out. So I wanted to tee Wassel up and just kind of get your thoughts, Wassel, maybe some like broad strokes on who you like if we pick up play in late July here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw some of the numbers, and not surprisingly, my one dark horse is still in, and that's of course Columbus, just because, well, I fell in love a little too much with them last year. It's one of those things that you never could see coming. Sure, you can a little bit more, just because, again, it's Toronto. Toronto has still not learned their lesson. They will eventually. When that is, I don't know. And you have John Tortorella going against let's face it, a rookie head coach. This sets up almost too well for Columbus, which means I might be doing one of these and just hiding in shame. But that's one pick. The other series that I'm interested in, and only just for pure fun and nuts and bolts standpoint, is Edmonton and Chicago. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what we're getting from that series. We have an idea that there's going to be offense, but we have no idea how this is going to just erupt. Is it going to be is there going to be a lot of rust? That's the one series I want to see in particular.
Interesting. Now, Columbus started as plus 10,000 to win the cup. Now, you seem to think, like I'm picking Columbus in the first round, but I don't know how deep they could go. What are their chances of winning the cup here?
The problem with that is we don't know who they're going to play against. If they play against a team like Boston, it's zero. They just don't match up well enough. Boston has a little bit too much balance. Again, Boston's one of those teams that has balance as far as special teams, which is something that, look, Columbus still has an inconsistent problem with, and I think will just for all of eternity. And they're a young team. That youthful, especially that youthful goalie enthusiasm, will serve them well to round one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far it gets them. I don't think it gets them very far. I have seen their numbers come back a little bit, Pete. It was plus 10,000 to start. I've seen on some sites this is about plus 6,000 to plus 6,500. I mean, it doesn't sound significant, but it actually is considering who they're playing in round one. And the Toronto media, who just loves hearing the fact that they may not be all as favored as they once thought they were.
It's interesting, Chris, because I'm looking at these percentage of bets, where the money's going right now. Already 12% of all bets, at least placed on DraftKings, is on the Philadelphia Flyers. That is the third highest behind Colorado and Boston.
They just think that Philly is that hot right now. And some of the road numbers did start to trend in that direction for Philly at the very end before the pause. But again, you're looking at a small sample size of about the last five or six road games. You now have what is going to amount to be about a 4.5 to almost 5 month pause. How can you sit there and consciously quantify numbers like this and then try to transpose it into a play-in round? That's something that we as analysts are going to have to rectify. And then bettors and fans alike are going to have to somehow interpret quickly.
I found a couple of really good notes on Philly. I think they're one of the teams that has the most to gain here, especially when you consider now with the reseeding. If they win the round robin, they will play like the worst team that advances, which is a good thing. So, of course, Philly is top 7 in the NHL in goals per game and goals allowed per game overall. And then they lead the NHL in two key stats, fewest shots allowed per game and best faceoff percentage. So like Philly, the momentum was in their favor. That momentum's now gone, but Philly is a very complete, dangerous team that I don't know that they can win the cup, but like they can make some noise here. I can definitely say that.
I'm going to say if you are going to put cash on any of these now, especially if you're going with the seeding rounds or the seeding teams, excuse me, those teams are guaranteed to get in. Obviously, they're in the first round of the actual postseason. So that's where I would put my money. And I've got to just look at the road points. That's what I'm going off. That's how I'm putting my money down. Number one team in road points this year, Colorado Avalanche. Two, Washington Capitals. Three, Boston Bruins. So if you're looking for a sure pick that's probably going to go deep in the playoffs, I'm not saying win it all, but if you want your money to at least last through round one and maybe round two, those are the three teams that I would feel comfortable putting a large amount of dollars on.
That just solidifies the Avalanche, a team that a lot of us have been pumping up with all the guys they're getting back. Most likely will be avoiding Dallas in the first round. Can't say definitely now with some of the reseeding and things and potential upsets. You never know, but chances are they're going to play somebody else. That just solidifies them. And, the road points percentage, that type of thing, I think also, like we've said in previous shows, favors the New York Rangers, who are an elite road team from January 1st to the end, and also top five in road points percentage for the entire season at large.
What do you guys think about Tampa Bay? They're coming in at 10% of overall bets, which is a lot less, I'm sure, than this than heading into the postseason last year. So, Chris, what do you think about Tampa Bay this year? Obviously, they might have a couple flaws in the back end, but hey, I'm Tampa Bay's biggest critic on this show. I'm kind of intrigued at their odds right now.
Yeah, 10% is kind of a nice number for them, considering it was about 21 this time last well, not this time last year, but around this time last year. Biggest thing with Tampa is they kind of realized, hey, we got punched in the mouth last year, and we never recovered. They dialed it down early in the season. Injuries helped that a little bit along the way, but they were starting to play as the team we expected them to as February, March, and they were starting to narrow the gap. I mean, look, they got the gap down to single digits between them and Boston, and a lot of people had thought that if the regular season had played out, that they may very well have been able to overtake Boston even at the end. Now, I'm not one of those people, because an 8-point lead with 12 to 14 games to play is usually not something that you can overcome. But, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, is that type of team that can rack up a lot of points fast. Again, scoring chances, something that they've had problems with allowing. They did against Columbus, especially in round one of last year's playoffs. That is something I want to see how they clean up. As far as first the round robin, and then of course into the first round of the actual playoffs. If it's something where it's not as much of an issue for them as it usually is, Tampa is an extremely dangerous team that will go far, unlike last year.
It's amazing, Chris, you said a team could dial it down for a large portion of the season and still lead the NHL in goals per game. I mean, it's crazy. Just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. What their offensive potential is and turned out to be over the second half of the season, shades of last season, of course. But their biggest injury development and maybe storyline altogether is Stamkos probably coming back from that core muscle surgery. That was something that Crosby dealt with earlier in the year, missed a lot of time. What's your assessment of that injury and what it means for Stamkos? How important is Stamkos to them winning the cup? And like you're an injury expert from everything we see. Like, what is the impact of that injury on Steven Stamkos?
Right now, it's almost zero because, look, he's going to have another – well, he's going to have another about, you figure, 8 weeks to recover. He would have come back by now anyway. It really is just a question of him getting in game shape like everyone else. And if he can do that well, which he's shown an ability to in the past, he's one of the most relentless workout warriors I've ever seen, next to maybe Chris Drury. Don't ever do the Chris Drury workout on a full stomach, by the way. Never do it. It's that simple. It's similar to some of Stamkos' workouts. They are stuff of legend. I know talking to Brian Boyle, he kind of joked about it once. He tried it, and he tapped out even. Boyle is a warrior for crying out loud. And if he taps out on something, it's intense. Stamkos is just wired that way. I'm not worried about him at all. Come playoff time.
For me, it's all about Nick Kucherov, Pete. I mean, you look at a player that got off to a slow start of the season. What was he playing at, like a point per game? He finished the season from January 1st with 44 points in the last 31 games. I think this is the Nick Kucherov show. I think you're going to need to see that player dominate for the Lightning. And if that's the case, having Stamkos as a secondary scorer on that team, that'll put them over the edge. Now, one thing I was hard on this Tampa Bay Lightning team for at the trade deadline was acquiring not only Blake Coleman, but also Barkley Goodrow, paid a high price for those players. But now with the situation with COVID and everything and this big delay, I think it's nice that they have a couple extra forwards who can chip in depth-wise heading into a crazy postseason.
No doubt. Do you guys think that Tampa Bay is better off stacking that top line, which stacks up really with all the best lines in the league, with Stamkos, Kucherov, centered by Braden Point? Or do they need to spread out the scoring more in order to finally get to the Stanley Cup?
They need to spread it out 100%. There's no way you can rely on a one-line team in the postseason. There's way too much parity. The problem with that, Pete, my initial reaction, you get down in a 1-0 hole, you're going into the late in the third period, that's when you put that line out there, fine. But all game, you've got to look for balance. You've got to look for three or four lines that can put a goal in. Postseason goals are hard to score. Everyone means so much, so spread out the scoring.
Yeah, I agree. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you can always turn back to that line as a crutch. That's like what Edmonton's going to do, right? I mean, Edmonton is going to try to spread out the scoring like they have over the second half of the season. But you bet they can always go back to Draisaitl, McDavid with Cassian if they want to. You know, that's a good comparison. And then for Chris, what do you think about – we're looking at the cup odds, and one team that jumps out to me, I look at Dallas. I mean, everybody's been pumping up Dallas. Robbie likes Dallas a lot. We like Dallas all year. I think me and Davey Satriano had him in the cup final maybe from the beginning, if I remember. It was so long ago. It was almost a calendar year ago at this point. But Dallas is actually – they started as more of a, further back than Pittsburgh, who's in the qualifying round in terms of cup odds. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, I was surprised by Pittsburgh. I was more surprised that Philly was even ahead of them at first, because I looked at the numbers and I'm like, wait a minute, Dallas plus 1,400 here. Philly's lowest value was plus 13. And I'm like, okay, different. Let me hit that. Hold on a second. Let me just put a quick little five timer on that. Just to toss the number and see what happens. But there's no doubt about it. I mean, Dallas's only issue is the issue it's always going to be, and it's can they get the timely goal scoring that they did not get against St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no doubt that St. Louis's toughest test was Dallas, and I'd argue even make the case that Dallas probably was the better team. It just didn't get bounces late in that game seven in particular. There's a couple instances where you sat there. It's like, oh, there's no way that puck should have stayed out of the net. And, when you see that happen, several times in a game, you go, well, sometimes it's just not meant to be. And it was not Dallas's year. This sets up better for them in a lot of ways because they're not coming in as the favorite. Obviously, the press is in on Colorado. A team like Colorado heavily. They may arguably be in on a team more, say, with Vegas than Dallas. Dallas is kind of flying under the radar, which is good for them. They're like, hey, we're fine with this. And they did last year. They will even more this year. And look, they feature a lot of good numbers and a lot, among the best in the league in goals allowed, among league best in scoring chances allowed. Goals saved above average, et cetera. You go down the line. In a playoff where you expect there to be more rust from round to round than usual, it's a special circumstance. Mm-hmm. It favors a team like Dallas.
Now, the reason I'm so intrigued by Dallas, guys, is because we didn't really see a final product for them all season. There was flashes of it here and there, and they looked like a team that could take over in any situation. Look at the Winter Classic is kind of a statement game for them where they had a couple cards stacked against them early on. I don't know. That was, I feel like, a little bit of a turning point for them. And then obviously with the coaching change too, there was some, maybe some unity in the locker room. But I think from a betting standpoint, number one regional trend, no one on the East Coast is betting on Dallas. So you kind of have that little upper hand here as an against the grain pick. And number two, Ben Bishop got outperformed by backup Anton Khudobin this season. Khudobin led the league in save percentage. He led the league in even strength save percentage with a 940. That's almost 100% saves at even strength. That is absolutely incredible for Khudobin. So I think the good news for Dallas is even if Ben Bishop carries over this injury history, if the time off for him is not good for the lower body, great. You got Anton Khudobin that can carry you through at least one series, if not the whole postseason.
Yeah, if Bishop gets injured, you could always turn to Khudobin. The stat that Chris alluded to with goals allowed per game, the top two teams were Boston, who had Rask and Halak both efficient near the top of the league, and then Dallas, number two, who had those two guys. So that's kind of the blend that works, I guess, that they've both proven over the past two seasons. And Dallas especially, yeah, you mentioned it, Chris. That Jamie Benn wraparound, I still can't believe that that didn't go in. But maybe he'll get another chance at it this year. And
yeah, he's not missing that this year. You can
no, he's not. And he and one thing to add too, Jamie Benn probably looks the healthiest he has in two or three seasons. I know it's a bad cliche, but I mean, it did seem like come March that a lot of the nagging injuries that have been plaguing him are not anymore.
Yeah, that's a good sign for sure. And of course, Dallas has those guys like Gurianov and Rupe Hintz, like the full speed guys that can score big goals in the playoffs on those breakouts.
So going back to some maybe regional favorites here, Chris, Pittsburgh, Washington, kind of perennial year in, year out people that love to bet on those two teams. Do you like them this year? Or maybe we're seeing the chapter kind of turn to the latter end of both of their team success in the postseason?
I mean, for round one, they're fine. Well, especially Pittsburgh for the play-in round, because it's Montreal who can't put a power play together. I will never understand how dysfunctional a Claude Julien-led power play is until watching it in person. And I got to a couple times this year, the last time being in February at Bell Center against – yes, the Dallas Stars, who they blew a 3-0 lead to, by the way. I have an aerial picture from the press box with some of the Montreal press, and literally they could see the goal from Dallas in overtime coming. I'm watching these guys. They're actually writing their post game story. They are getting ready to go to the locker room, and I'm like, the puck's in, and I hear it in French, you know, translate it roughly. That does not matter. Dallas will score in the next 15 to 20 seconds. And I forgot who said it in French, but it was as loud as could be. And sure enough, Dallas scored. And that was a brilliant move by Sagan, by the way. But it's one of those things where it's you just have this sense that Montreal isn't going to be able to put this together at the most crucial time Pittsburgh can get through. And Washington in round one, same type, you know, when they start their playoffs, I think they'll be okay as well. But after that, yeah, you're right. This could really be a changing of the guard of sorts. But that depends on Pittsburgh and Washington. Mm-hmm. I mean, their defense down the middle will dictate how far they go in these playoffs. Obviously goaltending, yes, too.
With Holtby playing the way he did this season, you really never know.
Yeah, I mean, do they go Samsonov? Do they consider it? I mean, Samsonov had his bouts of where he was inconsistent as well. I mean, that has to be at least thought of, in this equation too.
Samsonov, I remember from either January 1st to the pause, had only played like five games or something. He was really not getting the usage down the stretch that I would see to show that he would deserve game one. I think Holtby will get the majority of the playing time, but maybe if he falters, they definitely have an option there. And we're talking about these teams that have been some of the top teams for many years. Of course, we have to mention the top team from last year, the St. Louis Blues, a team that was extremely strong, led the Western Conference in points without Tarasenko. Now they get him back. Binnington has had an amazing season in trying to replicate what he did last year as a rookie And I just feel like St. Louis, even when you look at the odds, the starting odds plus 1,200, I mean, you look at five teams ahead of them, that just doesn't sit right in terms of giving them the respect that they deserve. What do you think?
I mean, St. Louis does deserve more respect, no doubt about that, in terms of odds at least, Pete. But for some reason, I don't know, man. I just can't see it happening 2 years in a row. It's so hard to do that if you're not the Pittsburgh Penguins, if you're not Sid and Evgeny Malkin. So for that team to do it two times in a row, I'd be utterly shocked. I mean, look at the first period, Game 7 against Boston last year. I mean, Boston was like, let's be honest, like Boston should have scored a couple goals in that period and made it a much different game, let alone outcome of the whole series. So is that a knock on St. Louis? Absolutely not. Binnington bailed them out. It's got to be your best player in the postseason, has to be your goalie. But to do it 2 years in a row with Tarasenko now maybe never going to be 100% with the shoulder, I'm not going to bet on St. Louis this year. I like St. Louis. They're going to be a very hard out, but I'm not going to bet on them to go back-to-back.
Fair.
It's too tough to expect a team like St. Louis to repeat at this point. The big thing is Tarasenko having the surgery when he did. It's typically about 9 or 10 months to get 100% usage in that shoulder. He's had surgery on it before. That's a concern. So you really do not know how he's going to be with this. Is he going to be 100%? Is he going to be 50%? I mean, yeah, 50% Tarasenko is better than 80 to 85% of the players in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But a lot of things broke right for St. Louis in a ridiculous way last year. And it's not just the guy that was randomly wearing a Blues jersey on the Jersey Shore before Memorial Day, before the playoffs really got underway. I mean, you know, that wasn't an omen or anything. The guy was ironically wearing a Tarasenko jersey. Go figure. It did say the Blues would win the Stanley Cup in 7 over Boston. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever heard, and I kind of just dismissed the guy, but you know, he was right. I want his lottery numbers. Now, here's the thing, too. St. Louis is going to play Nashville. That's not going to be an easy series for them. People think it's going to be, but it's not. Nashville is, again, one of those teams that has not really – you really haven't seen the best of what they can do. I'm intrigued to see Philip Forsberg with rest, because Forsberg was banged up all year on and off. It was not widely disclosed that he was hurt, but he definitely played hurt through a significant portion of the season. So did a few other players on Nashville. You know, again, the question with them is, which goaltender do they go with as well? And honestly, St. Louis, I'm worried about Binnington. I really am. I mean, his numbers over the second half. I mean, Jake Allen was getting a few more starts than I expected he ever was going to before the pause. So, again, we're talking about something that has a 4.5 to 5 month shelf life before you from gaps of action. God, if St. Louis falls asleep the first game or two, it's a completely different playoff for them.
Yeah, could see it happening. There were definitely some fluky things happening at different points last postseason. They deserved everything they earned, but there were some points where they could have been eliminated in each round, including that first round against Winnipeg, I remember pretty vividly. But one thing you were talking about is, like, St. Louis relied on both guys during the regular season. Boston and Dallas did too, like I mentioned. Goalie tandems, especially pertaining to the round robin, Chris, like, how do you see a team like Vegas handling this thing? Like, do they use the round robin to work Fleury and Robin Leonard and then see who's playing better, who's hotter? What do you think?
I think they almost have to with these two, especially with Leonard. You need to see what you have as far as going forward as far as the playoffs. I thought he was excellent last year in the playoffs, especially against – I mean, look, it was well known just how good Leonard has been over the last two seasons. Fleury has been a little bit more up and down, obviously. We all know that's just how Marc-Andre Fleury is. When Fleury is on, he's one of the absolute best in the league. When he's not on, it's a struggle. It's a mighty struggle at times, too. Laner has not been like that over the past couple of seasons. He's been very consistent. And then at times otherworldly with his numbers. And I do think you see the both of them worked in this round robin. You have to. If you're Vegas, you have to see what you have in these two goalies. you need to be able to make a good decision, because the decision you make is going to have, you're going to play somebody good in round one, and they need that goaltending.
I think Vegas will be successful regardless of who's in net. Their team is just complete offense, defense, and goalie-wise, best tandem in the league, hands down. So I think they'll be okay either way. But I wanted to get either of your guys' thoughts on just for a team like Vegas, does these seeding matchups really mean anything, or is the format kind of, it is what it is, and it doesn't really matter? Like, where do you stand on watching these games? Is it of any significance to you if a team like Vegas or a team like Washington loses their higher seed?
I think Vegas has an opportunity here to really make a difference in the seeding round. I think a team like Dallas can match up with anybody they play, whether it's, you know, if some team falters in the seeding round and they end up playing Colorado, they can match up with them if they need to. Vegas, I think, has been, that Pacific Division was so tight this year and not really that great. Vegas wasn't a superb team like we thought they might be. But they're getting Stone back. They're getting Pacioretty back. They're even probably going to get Alex Tuch back for the playoffs. And if they go out there and run the table in those three games, win the top seed, and then maybe, like, say Chicago pulls the upset, I mean, you'd look at them playing Chicago in the first round, which would be like a cakewalk for them. So I think a lot to gain for Vegas for sure in the round robin.
Vegas undoubtedly has the most to gain at this juncture. I mean, look, who would I rather play in round one? Let's see. And look, with all due respect, I mean, right now as it stands, if they played Winnipeg, you know, I'm not worried. If they play, you know, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Vegas is one of those teams that I'm not immensely worried about for round one. It would be more later on. Mm-hmm. As the matchups get tougher. But as they are built right now, they're one of the more complete teams in the West. The West is stacked. So it makes it more difficult once you get deeper into the playoffs, picking some of these teams, because at some point with the teams in the West, at least the quote-unquote core four, you're nitpicking at this point as opposed to exposing actual weaknesses.
So if you were to give me a favorite, Chris, of the qualifying teams right now, who would it be? And same thing for the round robin teams.
Let's see. From the West, my favorite's still Dallas. It's just going to be no matter what. And then after that, obviously, you know, it's gotta be Colorado. I mean, it's just one of those. As much as I don't want to ride the wave, and I know that even they've had a few questions in net themselves, and then obviously, you know, Frank Kuz answering literally all of them in about the same way that a certain goalie did last year at about the same time, you have to at least consider Colorado as well.
Yeah, Colorado, one of the few teams in the round robin seeding round that have an actual goaltending controversy. Like most of these teams, we're talking about tandems where it's been 1A, 1B. Like that has been a little lopsided in the direction that we haven't anticipated, with Francois clearly outperforming Grubauer, and Grubauer dealing with an injury leading up to the pause. Chris, who would you start? Who would you play more in the round robin, or who would you trust more for the playoffs? Because Grubauer was great last postseason.
I think you have to play Grubauer a little bit more, at least in the round robin, to get him some reps. Look, training camp is not going this, or I almost have to call it retraining camp, is going to be paramount for a guy like him. Yeah, he needs to make sure the lower body is working the way it's supposed to. He doesn't overstretch anything. Again, it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's another classic case, long layoff. I had the feeling I'm going to be saying a lot of lower body injuries again, much like we say in September all the time. So they're going to watch him heavily to see how he does. They're going to make sure he plays in every chance that he gets. And as for Frank Kuz, he doesn't need to play all that much. He just needs to stay healthy and, you know, get basically get his level of play up, and he should be fine.
And Chris, one last thing about the injuries. I mean, we're talking about all these injury returns or potential injury returns, but once these guys get back, they're going to be rusty. There are going to be some injuries. Like, how does that affect the overall landscape of the NHL? And does it favor some teams over others with maybe some teams that have been banged up all year? What do you think of that? Because I think there will be injuries undoubtedly once everybody comes back full force, high intensity playoff games, stuff like that.
Right. Once you start seeing even probably by game three of the play-in round, you're going to see it, and maybe sooner. It's just going to depend on these teams and how much, animosity rises, because it's going to quickly hit a five. That's the five, the animosity and the snarl level, if you will. Ugh, I hate using that word, but got have to here just because of the shorter series, is going to ratchet up very fast. As soon as that intensity ratchets up, the injuries go up. There's a perfect correlation to this almost. The teams that will benefit are teams like Dallas, teams that play Boston, even teams that have a lot of depth and play a style where they don't need to score four or five goals a night necessarily to win. Tampa Bay, all it takes is one, probably an injury to Kucherov or Stamkos, and they're very well could be derailed. Pittsburgh, an injury to Crosby probably derails them a little bit, not in the first round because we all know Montreal, or at least that's the presumption anyway. But again, there are teams that just cannot afford certain injuries at this point, or a rash of injuries, and there are teams that can. And again, it's not surprising that teams like Dallas, Boston, and Colorado are among the favorites, because they have that depth that other teams do not have. Even if Vegas, Vegas gets it going like some think they can.
Good stuff from Chris. And, yeah, I think there are plenty of teams out there that have proven it over the course of the season, but this is going to be a new season. Colorado and Pittsburgh come to mind, but there are so many others like St. Louis and even Tampa. They dealt with some injuries to some key players for a long period of time. So thanks again for joining us, Chris. Hope you're doing well down there, and hope we can all get back to hockey very soon.
Yeah, hopefully we can actually get out to going somewhere for actual food and not have like outdoor dining. And get this, because they're going to be doing this in parts of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Tailgating style dining. Hmm. Yes, it's making a comeback. The art of the tailgate. You'll be able to have a tailgate with up to 8 people socially distanced. As always, guys, have a good weekend, and thanks again.
And you can catch Chris at Chris Wassel DFS on Twitter if you've got any more pick advice, injury advice, whatever you want. Pete's at NHL Jensen. I'm at NHL Reese, and Bobby is at Airchecked.
Thanks for that, Rob. And also wanted to give a plug to Bill Douglas, who was on the At the Rink podcast. Really good episode to put everything into perspective with what's been going on in the world this week. So again, for Chris Wassel, thanks for joining us. Robbie Reese, Pete Jensen, signing off. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Have a great weekend.